The hits keep coming, as we've learned. Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle Vita Vea will miss the rest of the season due to the injury suffered against the Chicago Bears on Thursday Night Football. We discuss this and get deeper into the Buccaneers' Week 5 loss on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks underscore Nation. And now, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers lead story.
Going back to the Thursday night game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Chicago Bears to kick off the NFL's Week 5 schedule of games, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle Vita Vea was injured with a minute and 50 seconds remaining as the Buccaneers would go on to lose that game 20-19. Following the injury, head coach Bruce Arians was quoted as saying, quote, "Vita's got a broken leg and probably will miss the rest of the season. It'll be a big loss. When you lose players like OJ Howard and Vita, you can plug the next man in, but they're not the same. I hate it for him because he was having such a great year," end quote.
Yeah, losing Vita Vea for the season is a massive, massive blow to this Buccaneers defense. And now they have to figure out what it is that they are going to do to replace Vita Vea, which is almost an impossible task at this point in the season. You take a look at guys like Raheem Nunez, Roaches, and William Golston that are going to have to slide in and make an impact. We got word originally from friend of the Locked On Bucs podcast, JC Cornell, that the Buccaneers had reached out to Damon Harrison to come in and fill that role. Harrison, better known as Snacks around the NFL, declined, said he would rather stay in Seattle. So you're looking at a situation now where the Buccaneers have to fill a very large void, both in terms of production and mass, in the middle of their defensive line. And it's going to be incredibly difficult. Vita Vea had been very disruptive all season long. He was helping create opportunities for Ndamukong Suh, who lines up next to him. Suh with a couple of sacks already on the season, a couple of tackles for loss. And a lot of that is opened up by the attention that Vita Vea garners from the opposing offensive line.
Yeah, when you look at it from a schematics point of view, every single player on that defensive front for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, whether it be Vita Vea, Will Golston, or Ndamukong Suh, each left Week 5 with two sacks on the season. And that's a huge part of what the Buccaneers like to do, is generate that pass rush, generate that pressure on the opposing quarterback as organically as possible. Because if they can get that organic push from the front three, then that means the blitzes, whether they're coming from guys like Shaquille Barrett or guys like Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White, and Levante David getting into that mix this season. If your front three are eating blocks and a guy like Vita Vea demanding double teams very often from opposing offensive lines, then those blitzers can get in more freely and get some of those pressures. The Buccaneers are one of the top teams in the NFL in creating quarterback pressures. Even if they're not leading the league at this point in actual sacks, those pressures do accumulate. They build as the game continues on, and it affects the opposing quarterbacks and helps out that young secondary. But what you're going to see as Vita Vea leaves the field and is not going to return until 2021 is that this team's got to wrap their head around the fact, from a playing standpoint and a coaching standpoint, that he's not coming back in the 2020 season. For defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, that creates a little bit of a challenge, because we go back to our earlier conversations this year with people from inside the building, including writers like Carmen Vitale and people like Scott Smith, who talked about how this was a season we might see this Todd Bowles defense even take it to another level compared to what we saw last year. Going back into last season, this Buccaneers defense struggled for the first half of 2019, really picked it up in the back half of 2019. So coming into 2020, you were looking for that group, because 10 out of the 11 starters from 2019 returning to the squad, you add Antoine Winfield Jr. into the mix, and now you expect Todd Bowles to take this defense to another level. And we started to see some of those things. We started to see Devin White rushing off the edge, which is not something that we saw in his rookie season. Lavonte David getting more work as a traditional outside linebacker and pass coverage and run fits and in the pass rush, as well as doing the normal things that he's able to do. Now I feel like the Buccaneers are going to have to bring that scheme back in a little bit, simplify things just a little bit more. And we might actually see a few more four down linemen fronts for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense as they look to fill that void left by Vita Vea. We might also see some two down linemen. We might see Will Golson and Ndamukong Suh, the only defensive linemen with their hands actually in the dirt. And we might see four or five guys lining up near the line of scrimmage for the Buccaneers defense, standing up, forcing quarterbacks to try to predict, forcing the offensive line to try to predict where the pressure might be coming from as Todd Bowles looks to replace the disruptiveness of Vita Vea physically with disrupting the mental processing of opposing offenses now that Vea is not on the field.
From the Draft Network and Locked On NFL Draft's Trevor Sikkema, he mentions in an article about the biggest loss from Thursday night wasn't to the Bears, for Tampa Bay. He says, quote, "Simply put, the entire structure and success of what the Buccaneers have done this season on defense started with Vea being a force in the middle." He then wrote about the future of the position for the Bucs, saying, quote, "Tampa Bay won't be completely high and dry. Raheem Nunez-Roches has been with the team for multiple seasons and has experience playing in Vea's role. Nunez-Roches won't have the space-eating capabilities Vea does. Vea outweighs him by about 30 pounds. But he and his fellow interior defensive lineman Will Golston can provide a decent rotation with Sue to keep the interior strong," end quote.
Yeah, and that's an article that I quoted as well in my weekly column, my best and worst for the Buccaneers coming from the week that was, and as I listed the loss of Vita Vea as the top worst of the week. Obviously, a sentiment that Trevor agrees with, obviously a sentiment the Bucs Nation readers also agree with, as 58% of them selected the loss of Vea as the worst of the worst for week five. But like he says in his quote, guys like Raheem Nunez-Roches coming in there, guys like William Golson moving inside, expect the Buccaneers to try to win with a little bit more speed and a little bit more creativeness while simplifying. I know this kind of sounds weird, but a little bit more creativeness in how they use that speed and where they bring that speed from, versus having a guy like Vita Vea using a little bit of power mixed with speed to eat up blocks and create holes for other players.
Speaking of best and worst, that column addresses several storylines from the game. Of course, you can find that over at BucsNation.com. David, I know you touched on some of those in our game recap and instant reactions from Friday, and we're going to get a bit deeper into that conversation coming up next. But first, a word from our friends over at Visa. Visa knows that local businesses are the heartbeat of our communities. Whether they're our corner stores, our coffee spots, or our favorite shops, local businesses have always been there for us. They remember our orders. They call us by name, always giving back, making a difference, and going the extra mile to support us and our community. Right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So now it's time for us to return the favor. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official sponsor of the NFL.
Back here to kick off of the week on the Locked On Bucs podcast. Wish we were coming to you under better circumstances, but unfortunately the Buccaneers coming out of Thursday Night Football week five with a loss to the Chicago Bears 20-19. And then, of course, on top of it all, even worse, losing Vita Vea for the year to a broken leg. James, you weren't able to join me for the initial reactions because you had to be at work Friday much earlier than I did. So I went ahead and took that solo. So go ahead and fill us in now on what it is you were thinking immediately following the end of the game on Thursday night.
It was first and foremost a terrible game. It was a terrible loss. There were a lot of issues for the Buccaneers, a lot of just bad play all around for this team. I want that to be very, very clear. I am placing the blame of this loss on the Buccaneers themselves. This was a winnable game that they should have come out of Thursday night at 4-1. All that said, that honestly, in my 30-some years of watching football, might have been the worst officiated game I have ever seen in my life. That was absolutely atrocious. It seemed like the referees were chasing their own bad calls all night long. Like, they knew they screwed up, so it's like, oh, well, we got to give them a makeup call. But then the makeup call was worse than the original bad call, so then they doubled down and they go with another makeup. It was just absolutely god awful. But I'm not blaming the officiating for this game. Did it cause some momentum swings? Absolutely. But it was just as bad for the Bears as it was for the Bucs, all in all. It was just horrendous all around. The offensive line for the Buccaneers, absolutely terrible. Tom Brady, not his best game. Yeah. Scotty Miller, where was he? Where was Scotty Miller all night long? Like, no targets, no nothing, just kind of out there. We're throwing passes to Jaden Mickens. We're holding, we're fighting with each other. We're losing track of what down it is. Just unless your name was Ronald Jones or Ryan Succop, basically you didn't have a good game.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about the officiating, I mean, Mike Pereira was on the Fox Sunday pregame show talking with those Fox Sunday guys, JB, Terry Bradshaw, and all those guys, about how this season has seen some of the least official or least amount of penalties the NFL has ever seen through 4 weeks. And I just kind of laughed to myself and said, oh, well, apparently you weren't watching Thursday Night Football. And I mean, Thursday Night Football, just in general, I think most people across the NFL, across fandom, across the media agree that Thursday Night Football is an absolutely atrocious product. Anyway, obviously a hot button topic, obviously a hot button item. And there are lots of storylines to talk about coming out of this game. Of course, I touched on a few of them on my way out from our Friday episode. Let's get a little bit into some positive though, James. And the first positive I want to bring up is Rojo, Ronald Jones, and his continued development as a primary back in this Buccaneers offense.
Yeah, Rojo has looked fantastic the last 2 weeks. It was, he was my bold prediction for BucsNation.com that he was going to go over 100 yards for the second consecutive game and only the third time in his NFL career. The more I see him run, the more confident I am in his abilities. And it's something that I mentioned last week that, fans get frustrated when they run on first down all the time, or, Rojo only gets 2 yards here. Then he only gets 2 yards here. And then he only gets 3 yards here. But he gets stronger and better as the game goes on. That's why Leonard Fournette was such a great compliment, because Rojo, he's shifty, he's elusive, but he's not, he's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Mike Allstott. He's not going to overpower you, but he is deceptively strong. So he starts wearing into this defense, and you never know when that next carry is going to be that one that he busts off for 10, 15, 25 yards. Because we see it happen over and over and over. When he continues to get the opportunity, he will finally break one off. He got completely robbed of a touchdown. I realize it has no bearing on the final score of the game, because the Bucs did score a touchdown on that drive. But he catches a pass, we're watching it, and my son even says, that looked like the Julian Edelman pass from the Super Bowl against the Falcons, where he just barely caught it off the tips of the blades of grass. Rolls into the end zone, but the stupid referees call it down, and then he can't advance the ball because the whistle was blown, and they waved it incomplete. So he gets robbed of a receiving touchdown. Brady got robbed of that passing touchdown, but Ronald Jones just gets better and better week after week. And as they get deeper into the season, as Ronald Jones continues to get better, they get a healthy Leonard Fournette back. I'm still incredibly confident that this 1-2 punch can do some serious damage down the stretch and potentially into the postseason for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, during the game, Buccaneers communication dropped the little nugget of information that Rojo's back-to-back 100-yard rushing performances, going back to his game against the Los Angeles Chargers and then this one against the Bears, was the first time since 2016 that a Buccaneers running back had back-to-back 100-yard rushing performances. Of course, I had to go back and find out when the last time was, so I combed through the stat lines. And James, it was Jaquizz Rodgers in 2016 who carried the ball first for 101 yards in a 17-14 win over the Carolina Panthers, and then he ripped off 154 yards on the ground in a 34-17 win over the San Francisco 49ers. Now, those games combined, he had 255 yards combined in his two games. Rojo, 217. But there's a very big difference. Jaquizz Rodgers, to do that in those two games, got the ball 56 times. That's 56 carries, not total touches. 56 times in two games, Jaquizz Rodgers carried the ball. Rojo did it in 37 total carries. If you take Ronald Jones' yards per carries and his back-to-back 100-yard performances, and you give him as many carries as Jaquizz Rodgers had, that averages out to Rojo being on pace to have 328 rushing yards. That's how good Rojo has looked over the last 2 weeks carrying the ball without Leonard Fournette, without LeSean McCoy. and with Keyshawn Vaughn. But yeah, man, Rojo has been running the ball at a clip that we have really not seen in a long time from a Buccaneers running back. So really excited to see if he can continue that on and see if he can continue to build on that. And honestly, James, I want to see the Buccaneers feed Rojo more. Like, I know a lot of people are talking about, you know, running on first downs. They don't want to see this. They don't want to see that. But if the Bears defenders or the Bears pass rushers, guys like Khalil Mack, have to worry about Ronald Jones running the ball. I mean, Rojo didn't even get 20 carries in this game, and the Buccaneers led for a pretty good chunk of it. Or they were in it, you know, in a situation where they could have run the ball to control the clock and make some things happen. If Rojo gets 20 touches, if Rojo gets 22 touches, it could change the entire outlook of the game, especially if it's going the way that it had been going up to that point. And if those pass rushers are forced to kind of fall back and try to help defend against that run that makes that play action better. I go back to that sack where it kind of looked like that Brett Favre sack where Michael Strahan broke the record, right? Tom Brady hits play action. He turns around. He's got a dude. I can't remember if it was Khalil Mack or somebody else, but he's got a dude barreling right down on top of him. Really, his choices at that point are get destroyed on national television or give up and live to play another down. And he falls to the ground and he gets touchdown. And you saw him. You saw him rolling his eyes, throwing his hands up at Donovan Smith going, dude, what the hell's going on here? Give me a second. You know what I mean? Let me turn around with the ball in my hand before I'm getting destroyed by a pass rusher. The Bears weren't respecting the play action at that point. And it's not, you look at the numbers, it's not because Ronald Jones wasn't hitting them up for yards. It's because the Buccaneers didn't establish the run as a consistent weapon in that game. And the Bears didn't have to be afraid of it because of that fact. So I want to see them get Rojo the ball more, let Rojo run, so to speak, and see if he can carry this team a little bit and try to set up these play actions as guys like Chris Godwin get healthier. Scotty Miller, again, like you said, kind of a ghost on Thursday night. Wonder if that was injury related or if that was scheme related. Whatever the case, we want to see him get more involved.
David, let's keep talking about some positives and let's flip it over to the other side of the football and talk a little bit about William Golston. This is a guy that has to step up in a big, big way in the absence of Vita Vea. And he didn't really show up on the stat sheet too much. He only had two tackles, but one of them was a sack. You know, he had a tackle for loss. He hit Nick Foles a couple other times. He was consistently getting into the backfield, getting pressure on Foles. He had a really, really good game. And David, I'm going to steal something from your best and worst over at BucksNation.com talking about that sack. You wrote on Thursday, with the Bucks leading by 2 points over the Bears and less than 5 minutes remaining in the game, Golston came up big with a sack on 2nd and 10. The sack pushed Chicago back to their own 19-yard line and forced them to face a 3rd and 19. But of course, as fate would have it with the officiating, Tampa Bay was flagged for roughing Foles, a penalty of 15 yards and an automatic first down. The Bears took the opportunity for new life down to the Bucs 20-yard line, where former Buccaneer kicker Cairo Santos put up the 3 points that ultimately ended up being the game winner. It puts a damper on Golston's big sack, but his performance thus far is one reason to believe the defensive front could still hold their own without Vita Vea.
Yeah, I mean, again, going to our first segment of the show, talking about some scheme things that Todd Bowles can do to try to make up for the loss of Vita Vea. Golston's going to be a really big part of that. Obviously, Ndamukong Suh is going to be a really big part of that. But so far, William Golston has shown that at least this season, he's ready and willing to step it up just a little bit, produce a little bit more than he has in some previous seasons. And again, he's going to have to step up even more. So good thing that they've got 10 days between that Thursday night game and their next game, because Golston's going to need it to kind of learn what his new role is going to be and get ready to have that impact, starting with the Green Bay Packers.
All right. Well, coming up in the final segment, we are going to talk a little bit about the coaching. But first, a big shout out to our friends over at Roman. How often do you use excuses like, I had a long day at work, I'm just not feeling it? It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship you real medicine with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is oh so easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOn to get up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOn for up to $50 off your first month of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/LockedOn.
Today's episode of Locked On Bucks podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar, and Built Bar has been running a breast cancer awareness over at BuiltBar.com. We wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of this. They've got a limited release strawberry flavor. It is seriously so good. I already told you guys last week, I got a box and a half of it myself, and they've been giving 12% off of orders through October 12th. That's today, Monday. All your orders are 12% off. They're partnering with charities like Barbells for Boobs, Breast Cancer Angels, Huntsman Cancer Institute, and Living Beyond Breast Cancer. Built Bar will match your donation up to $50 per order, plus 100% of the proceeds from the Built Breast Cancer Awareness hoodie that you can order at the website will go to these organizations to help support breast cancer patients and their families. The Breast Cancer Awareness hoodie will cost you $19.95. At the website. Built Bar, as always, is great for the health conscious. It's great for people trying to lose or maintain weight while indulging in delicious treat, guys. They're still low calorie, still low sugar, still high protein, still high fiber, and still great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com to help out with this breast cancer awareness initiative and use the promo code Locked On to get 20% off of your next order. Again, that's promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Wrapping things up here on a Monday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. So we're going to touch on this coaching issue real quick. And BA, after the game on Thursday night, even said that they were outplayed and outcoached. He was asked about it again on Friday by Ira Kaufman of Joe Bucks Fan. And this is what he had to say.
Just got to do a better job of coaching, Ira. I mean, it all falls on the staff. You know, mistakes that we're making in ball games that shouldn't be made. And they're not every week. They're just they're games where it's like a bunch of them. That was one of those games that there was a bunch of them. And it was, you know, penalties, technique errors, things that we should have coached better.
Yeah, there's no question about it. There was a big, big void in the coaching approach on Thursday night. The play calling was not great. You make a gutsy decision to go for it on fourth down in your own end of the field. I think they were what at like the 19 yard line. They go for it on fourth and one. Then you're in a situation where you can almost put the game away. Fourth down inside the 10. And you opt to kick the field goal. You know, no risk it, no biscuit. Where's that? The accountability board. How is Donovan Smith not written up there in Sharpie by now?
Yeah.
There are a lot of issues with the coaching staff on this team right now, and it's not all going to get fixed in 1 week, David, but they've got to start chipping away at some of these issues. And it starts with getting this team under control and stopping these penalties. The less you hurt yourself, the better off you're going
to
be.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it boils down to it. I mean, you know, I know what Shaquille Barrett is trying to do on that personal foul. And I agree with everybody who says that's such a ticky tack call and really a call that probably shouldn't be made. But you know what? You don't give the official the opportunity to throw that flag unless you come in high on a guy like Nick Foles. And I got it. You're coming in. You know, Nick Foles is not a short dude. He's not Kyler Murray. So you're coming in high on a tall dude because he's also got his hands up because he sees the quarterback getting ready to throw the ball. So I understand where Shaq is coming from, but it's kind of a situational football type of scenario because if Nick Foles is running to his right, you're chasing him from his left. He goes to throw. Guess what you're not going to do with Shaquille Barrett? You're not batting that ball down. Like Nick Foles isn't throwing it at your face. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to hit him, but come down with your shoulder, come down mid tricep, somewhere around the elbow area, and you don't get flagged for that incidental helmet to helmet, that high hit on the quarterback that always looks so nasty. You know what I mean? So I understand where Shaq was probably coming from, and I applaud the effort as always. But again, that's what BBA is talking about. That's where the coaching's got to come. They've got to go back to that film. They got to look at that and say, Shaq, listen, in this situation, we understand what you're trying to do, but you've got to understand where you are relative to the quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. And that avoids that flag. And now the Bears are probably punting. Again, coaching, you know, I actually still kind of wonder, and this is a conversation we could dive into for an entire episode, and we don't have time for that. But I almost kind of get the feeling that some of these calls are BA's calls and some of these calls are Byron's calls. And really, it's kind of like who's driving the ship at the current moment. And it just seems like there's such an inconsistent approach to how they're playing the game. And BA has said that Byron calls the plays, but on occasion I get in there and say, hey, here's what we're going to do, or here's how we're going to interject. So, I mean, I said it last year, you know what I mean? Either BA's got to let Byron drive it, or BA's got to drive it. I don't like this method of sometimes I interject and sometimes I say, no, we're going to do this, because this is a chess match, man. And you can't win chess. If you're playing a chess match and you have a chess expert come in there and say, okay, I'm going to take this move for you, that might be a really good move in the moment, but now you've thrown off my entire game plan. So I just don't like it. I just don't like the feel of it. Scotty Miller being a ghost. I mean, guys, handoffs, reverses, screens, do something. This guy has been so electric and so impactful for your team as your star receivers have been wounded and banged up. Do something to get the ball in his hand. There's no reason this guy should leave this game with zero touches. 0 yards, fine. But if he's got 3 carries or 3 targets and 0 yards, at least you tried. But this basically says, we came with our game plan. They stopped what we had for them. We just tried to inflict our will on them, and that's not how you're going to win football games.
Yeah, Tanner Hudson should not have been a bigger part of the game plan than Scotty Miller. And, David, the last thing that I'm going to say about it, guys like Ryan Jensen, guys like Carlton Davis, the refs are looking at these guys. They are consistently getting penalties, you know, whether it's Jensen with unnecessary roughness or getting into it with the other team. And Carlton Davis, every single week, defensive pass interference, got flagged for another one on Thursday. It wasn't even a catchable ball, but they're keeping an eye on him because he is a constant offender. Mike Evans, same thing with the offensive pass interference. They look for that because it has happened so many times. These guys are not going to get the benefit of the doubt. The coaches need to harp on them to get that part of their game eliminated, because all it does is hurt the team.
I mean, that pass interference was garbage, was trash. You're basically rewarding Nick Foles for not throwing the ball well. But, you know, but like you said, it's just one more in a string, and Carlton Davis has got to understand his reputation. Ryan, same thing. He said it on this very show that he's got to understand his reputation and that the referees are looking at him to do these kinds of things. Well, in those moments, he's forgetting them. And listen, Ryan might feel really good about whatever he said to that Bears defender. I don't even remember who it is that he headbutted and said some stuff to. He might feel really good about what he said in that moment, but guess what? That dude is sitting at home right now on Sunday watching other teams play football with a 4-1 record, while Ryan Jensen is back home, I don't know, maybe smoking something, maybe watching some football, but he's sitting at home with a 3-2 record, coming with the Packers coming to town next week, looking to send them to 3-3, while the Bears at worst are going to be 4-2 after week 6. So no matter what you said, it's not as important as the fact that you took your own team out of field goal range in a game that was decided by a field goal.
All right. Well, David, that is going to do it for this episode. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to have a few more voicemails from you, the listener, as David will get the day off. I will be flying solo, going to take some of these voicemails, and I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit. I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit about Thursday night football. Like to have that discussion when David can't stop me.
That was my day off celebration music, by the way.
Oh, gotcha. So until then, please check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Send us your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JNarco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other, and we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.